Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tes Vav. Matzdik Rosho, Marshir Tzadik, Tevas, Hashem Gam Shnehim. A person that's Matzdik Rosho, he makes the Rosho into a Tzadik, Marshir Tzadik, and he makes Tzadik into Rosho, Tevas, Hashem Gam Shnehim. This is an abomination to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Both of these concepts. The fact the Pasuk here says Shnehim tells us that they're very different. There are people, a person should not think that a person who's corrupt, it's all the same. If you're matzdik or rasha, automatically you will be Mashiach tzaddik. By the pasuk telling us, gam shenehem, it's emphasizing that these are two very different concepts. There are people out there that are very good people, they're tzaddikim. They're very good, they're very well respected people, tzaddikim mamish. But they always find the good in the Rasha also. They know that they're noble people in the Beis HaKnesses, they're tzaddikim, good, they give charity. But when there's an avla, he's also a good person, he's also a tzaddik. He'll never be able to see the evil in a man. That is a terrible thing, because there are people that have to be put in their place. And then there are people who are always Rasham, and they'll find the rishis in the Rasha. The Rasha is always the Rasha. And then, but every time, even every tzaddik, every rav, every talmud chacham, every person, every good person, will always find the chesaron to be marshia the rasha. So, most people who are evil are consistent. They'll see the evil for what it is, which is very good, but they'll also, unfortunately, go overboard and be matzd, be marshia the tzaddik, or vice versa. So that's why the pasuk emphasizes gam shenehem. The two very different concepts. It's very rare to have a person that reverses everything. Very rare to have a balabas that's always matzdik the rasha and marshia the tzaddik. That's the unusual. That's why we emphasize gam shenehem. Let's see what the pasuk says. Vav in the mitzvah stavim, because the vav matzdik af rak bedvarm. Here, according to the mitzvah, the focus on here is words. The reason why are we focusing here on words? Where does he get the fact that we're dealing with words? I guess it's matzdik. Matzdik means you make him righteous. You make the Rasha righteous. How do you make a Rasha righteous? Good morning. You have to speak. The mitzvah assumes we're dealing here with a person who is not necessarily a judge. He's not going to act upon his understanding. He just speaks these words. And this person reverses these two roles. Okay, there is no mitzudos on Rashi on this pasuk. Okay, there is.
This is it's a very interesting thing that they have.
Yeah.
Rashi says something.
Yeah.
Kind of a wild theory that's wild. You have no chiyuv to be argue with him. It's only when he does a maisa that you're called matzlik.
No, that's not, this is just the opposite. The af rak bidvarim.
The who? The Rasha is bidvarim?
No, the Rasha. The person, either or. The matzdik Rasha. We have a Rasha. We have in front of us a Rasha. And there's an observer who says about this Rasha, he's not so bad. He's a good guy. With words. No, that's exactly what the mitzvah says. You're coming to sing his praises. You're not coming. There is no practical nafkamina. The key, because what would have been proper? It would be proper for you, for the observer, to say about. It's proper for someone to say about a Rasha, he's a Rasha. It's not proper to reverse the roles.
Right, but is the Rasha counted a Rasha because he's saying rishis or because he's doing rishis?
Whatever it is, doing rishis, I assume. That's not the point. The point over here is the observer. We're not dealing with the person who's actually.
The observer has to disclaim and,
right.
And come against it.
Exactly.
If you see a mice of Rasha, you have to.
Speak out against it.
You see a mice of
you have to support it. Very good.
But what I'm saying is, if someone says different rishis.
That's not discussing that. We're not discussed in the pasuk. It's not being discussed in the pasuk. Okay, there's one point which I don't know what this means. I did not see this anywhere, and this is open for your interpretation. The words gam shenehem is used in reference to in the Torah to a mechir kelev and esnan zona.
Right.
So obviously there has to be some connection. Shlomo Melech is picking up on these two words, Gamshin, discussing these two types of things, and it's connecting it with the same expression. There must be a connection. Now what's the halacha in the Torah? You cannot bring from a carbon the exchange of a dog or money that was given to a woman for the ma'aseh nus. Gam shnehem. Now it would seem, I'm just saying things which I don't know what they mean. I'm just saying words, and maybe try to help me figure out what this means. Why did the Torah specify specifically these two concepts? The mechir kelev, the exchange for the dog, and the esnan zona, the pay for a zona. Here in this pasuk, we're describing the matzdik rasha. You are making the rasha into a tzaddik, umarshiat tzaddik, and you're making the tzaddik into a rasha. This is toyavas Hashem gam shnehem. So maybe if you look at the concept of a mechir kelef and look at the concept of a zona, each one is describing a different type of one of these two categories. What is a dog? Is a dog b'emes a rasha? Or is the dog BMS tzaddik? What is the? I don't know. I'm just
saying.
It's man's best friend. And what is the zona? I don't know. But it's. I'm just trying to make a point that it's there has to be some deeper meaning. B'chol, it's a very bizarre thing. Why did the Torah specify these two specific things? You may not bring an animal that has been used as payment to a zona and an animal that has been given as an exchange for the purchase of a dog may not be offered as a korban in the Beis Hamikdash. It's an abomination to Hashem. And here we use exactly the same expression, reference to a tzaddik who is being transferred as being viewed as a Rasha, and a Rasha that is being viewed as a tzaddik, gam shenehem. What that means, I don't know, just want to make that point. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk tez zayin. Lamazem mechir biyadagiyah. You also the word mechir. Okay, it's interesting. You have the same word mechir kelef. Lamazem is a whole new concept. This concept is all about the yirah shamayim. Lama ze mechir biyat kasil. Why is there money in the hand of a fool liknois chachma, to purchase chachma the lev oyin, when he lacks understanding? On a very simple level, this means, before we see the mepharshim, you just take these words at face value, a person that does not have the brains, the intellect, to achieve a deep intellectual insights into matters, does not belong in a classroom.
Money thrown away.
If a person wants to get a PhD in nuclear physics, and he just doesn't have the brains, he doesn't know how to add one and one. Mm-hmm. So why would you want to spend $1 million, a fortune of money, and to go and to bribe your way into Harvard, MIT, Yale to get in, when you won't be able even to pass the entrance exam? You won't be able to get through even one class. It's a waste of money. You don't belong there. Education is wonderful, but you have to be raw, you have to be fit for the task. So again, the pasuk says, Lama zemechir biyad kasil. Why is there money, hard-earned money, in the hand of a fool? Liknois chachma, he's attempting to acquire chachma. The lev oyin does not have a heart, does not have a heart to understand it. Now some will want to very nastily say, maybe I'm not so nasty, is that not everyone is cut out for learning. Why are there people that are sitting in Beis Medrash that are not making a parnasa, and who's paying for this? Who's paying this? So Torah is different. There's mechir. Lama ze mechir biyad kasil. We have a person who's a kasil. Kasil means he's not holding with the program. And there's mechir. A lot of money is being spent by his parents, by his in-laws, by society, by the government, in order to this person liknois chachma, he should acquire wisdom. But the person is not holding
so
by learning.
I'm saying it's just like mechir kelev.
The lev oyin. Listen, you can't generalize. We live in a very complicated world. You don't know what the alternative would be. Maybe sometimes it'll be better, sometimes not better. And then you have to understand that you're dealing with the hamoyin am, not dealing with yechidim. There's a system that has to be put in place for the majority, not everyone. So it's obviously a very complicated world, but that's something I think which you, someone would want to say in this Pshat and the Pasuk, but it's a little bit dangerous because obviously not everyone, there are exceptions. That what does the Pasuk really mean? Obviously, I just said over here two different ideas which Rashi and the Mitzvot didn't say. So obviously they know what the Pasuk really means. They have rejected these two ideas out of hand, and it's referring to Yirah Shamayim, a very specific concept. Don't waste your time, your effort, your energy in acquiring, learning Torah if you don't have the prerequisite for Torah, Yirah Shamayim, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. The lev here in this pasuk is a code for Yiras Shamayim. Let us see the Mitzvot and Rashi, and I'll tell you some of the Midrash, some very interesting ideas. Rashi Mitzvot Pasuk Zayin says, "Lama zeratz lema hakasil hamolach mechir b'kesef." A foolish person who brings a mechir kesef, a price. Mechir means the purchase price of money. In other words, a large sum of money. Lamoirim, to a teacher. Liknais chachma, to purchase wisdom. Teach me, here is the money, and I'll pay for your time. Teach me wisdom. Why is he bringing this money? What benefit does he have out of this? If he's trying to acquire knowledge for himself, he does not have the mind to appreciate these lofty matters. So it is a waste of money. Okay, so here, Mitzvot really did not touch upon the concept of Yirash Shemayim. He basically said what we said, this idea that if you don't have the koyach, the talent to study Torah, to learn knowledge, then don't waste your money, find a different profession. Rashi says, Rashi he right away says we're dealing specifically with Torah, and then he says, he has no intent. See, I take it back. I told you it was a medrash. We'll come to that in a moment. He has no intent to fulfill the Torah. He's only learning for kavod. Okay? A whole new interpretation. That if you're learning Torah, shaloi lishma, you're learning Torah to acquire reputation, that's you're wasting your money, that's not what Torah is all about. But that's only when your ultimate goal is that it should one day come lishma. I'm now learning shaloi lishma as a step in order that I should one day come to learn Torah lishma. But if I have no intent whatsoever that my Torah should ever come day lishma, I'm only learning Torah in order to acquire fame, in order to earn money, that is categorically find a good girl lishma for her sake, that the girl should like you and want to marry you, you'll have a good name. If that's the kavana, then it says here you're wasting your money, you're wasting your time, it's not going to succeed. Okay, so far we did not see the concept of Yirah Shamayim. Who then says this idea that the apostate shall be interpreted Yerushalayim? It's a Gemara Masech Yoma. Rashi and the Mitzvot do not mention it, but we give the Gemara Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Yoma on Daf Ayin Beis. How did you know? Yebaki and Shas and Paiskin Nigla Nister. Okay, what do you mean told the sign? That's what it says on the side of the page. Okay. So lama ze mechib yad kesef. So amar Rav Shmuel Nachmani yama amar Rabbi Yonasan. Ma dechsef. Lama ze mechir. Okay, the Gemara there quotes this pasuk. What does it mean? So he says, Oy lohem, woe lissoineim shel talmidei chacham. That's a euphemism. Woe to talmidei chachamim she'oiskim batorah. The Ein Bohem Yirah Shamayim. Machriz Rabbi Yana, he made the following announcement. Chaval. Now, this is a very important mashal because I'm going to show you another mashal which is a direct contradiction, and the reconciliation of these two mashalim is something which Mr. Rappaport touched upon yesterday. Two different types of Yirah Shamayim. So, what does it say in this? What does he say? He made the following announcement. Chaval. Woe. Al deles le darta. A person does not have a courtyard. You don't own property. Vitara lidorte avid, and you build a fence for your. You build a fence. You're in the business of building fences, but where are you going to put the fence? What's the purpose of the fence if the fence is not going to contain, enclose a courtyard? In other words, Yirah Shamayim is the courtyard. It's what goes inside, and Chochma Torah is the fence. The fence is the outside, the chitzonios, or the gather, the shmira for yirah shamayim. Yirah shamayim is defined by a person's barriers, by his fence. These are the words of the Gemara. Chaval al mi she'ein lo'y chotzer. Woe to an individual that does not have a courtyard. V'tare. Tare means a gate. Le dorte, for his courtyard avid. So what does it mean over here? I'll read you first over here the perish. And this chaval al mi she'ein lo'y chotzer. And the ilu pesach lechotzer hu oiseh. V'hainu she'atorah hi rak shar likones liyirah shamayim. Torah is a gate to enter into yirah shamayim. V'ilu mi she'ein lo yirah shamayim v'yesh lo Torah ki'ilu she'oiseh rak pesach lechotzer. He's making a pesach, but he has nowhere to put the door. You go to the lumberyard, you go to one of these companies that sell doors, and you buy the most beautiful door, and they come to install it, and they say, there's no way to install it. I just like the door for its own sake. You can hang it up in the living room. It's a shtus. The purpose of the door is in order that it should serve as an entrance to the home. So Amalei Rava, L'Rabban, and the Gemara continues, B'matusa minaychu, Rava said to his Talmidim, I beg of you, Lo tirtun tartei gehenim. Don't, this is a scary chazal. I don't want you to inherit a double portion of gehenim. What does that mean? What does that mean? Double portion of gehenim. So I'll read you the parish. The Gemara doesn't read the Rashi. Here's what Rashi says. Al tirshu gehenim pamayim. Al tiyu amelu mitor bali l'kayim osa. Don't learn Torah in this world without the intent to fulfill what it says in the Torah. Why? Shem tasu kein hareyatem yorshim gehenim b'olam hazeh. Shemitoch amal haTorah lo tehanu b'chayechem. If you study Torah in this world, you're not going to have parnasa. That's the way it goes. So you'll suffer very much in this world. You'll be ridiculed. People will look at you. How come you not? How come you don't have parnasa? Why don't you get parnasa? What's going on with you? You won't have money. It's a struggle. Life will be a struggle in this world. That itself is called Gehenim. And then you think, oh, new. At least I'll come into the next world. Achameh ve'esrem. I'll have an olam haba. I prepared in this world for the next world. In the next world, you'll have nothing also. Because the next world, they'll tell you, all of your learning was shaloy lishma. You had no kavana to learn Torah in order to fulfill what it says in the Torah. So you don't get reward for your learning. Your learning in the next world is not of any value. So what have you? What is the result? Gehenim in this world and Gehenim in the next world. If you have no intent to learn Torah, to mekayim the Torah, better off, don't learn Torah and get a job, support yourself, at least you'll have a good life in this world. You'll give some tzedakah for someone else to learn. If you really want to learn in this world and suffer in this world by learning Torah, make sure you fulfill what it says in the Torah. Shemitoch amal haTorah lo tehanu b'chayechem v'gam lo l'mahabo tirshu genim al mosh lo kiyamtem esam. It's very scary in my mind with my chazal. Okay, so now here we have this famous chazal that Torah is the gateway towards Yirah Shamayim. Yirah Shamayim is on the inside, and Torah is on the outside. Here we have a problem. We have a Gemara Masechet Shabbos. Gemara Masechet Shabbos. Give me one moment to find it. I marked it down. Okay, Gemara Masechet Shabbos, what daf is it? It's on daf lamed aleph. Gemara also talks about the milus of Yirah Shamayim. Gemara mentions the famous pasuk of V'choya Emunas Yitecha Chosin Yeshuos Chochmos Vodas. And the Gemara talks about all the different branches of Torah knowledge. And then the Gemara concludes, V'afilu Hachi, the pasuk concludes, Yiras Hashem Hi Oitzaroi. You may know Kol Torah Kula, but if you don't have Yirah Shamayim, the Torah is not going to be stored, it's not going to remain forever. Okay, so that's the, then the Gemara gives a mashal. The mashal is, Kol Adam, Sheyesh Bo Torah V'ein Bo Yirah Shemayim, Doimer L'Gizbar, Shemashu Lo Mavtechos HaPnimiyos. If you have Torah, it's like you are a custodian who has the keys to the safe. You have the keys to the vault in the bank. But you can't get into the bank. The front door is locked. So they say, give you the middle of the night, the alarm is off, we'll give you the keys to the vault. You can go in there, take whatever you want. but the outside door is locked. So what value do you have in having possession of the inner keys when you don't have access to the outer keys? So Torah is the inside, and Yirah Shamayim is the outside. That's what it says. One more time, Kol Adam, Sheyesh Lo Tovim Lo Yishmaim, Demel Gizva Shemosh Lo Mavtechos HaPenimiyos, Lo Mavtechos HaChitzonios Lo Yim Mosar Lo, Behayayil. How are you going to get inside the outside door to make use of the keys to get into the inner vault? Okay, then the Gemara goes on to say exactly what we just the quotation, the Gemara Masechta Yoma, Machres Shabyanei Chaval Al Delesle Darta, woe to a person who does not have a darta, a dira, a chatzer, v'tari l'darta on, but he makes a gate for his door. In other words, the Gemara mentions the Mamar Chazal that we just had. Now if you think about it, these two Mamar Chazal contradict one another. Because according to the Mamar that we started with the gate and the courtyard, what Yerushalayim is what? Yerushalayim is the inside. And Torah is the door, is the outside. And in the second Maimon Chazal that we've quoted, it's just the opposite. Yirah Shamayim is the outside, are the outer keys, and Torah is the Mavtechos HaPnimiyos, are the inner keys. So contradiction, what exactly is going on? Is Yirah Shamayim on the inside, or is Yirah Shamayim on the outside? How do we make sense of this? So the answer is, it's both. The truth is, there are two types of Yirah Shamayim. When you take these two Mamar Chazal and you overlap them, one on top of the other, you superimpose one on top of the other, the result is the Torah is in the middle. Torah is in the middle, and Torah, in other words, is the Shar, is the gate, and the Mavtechos HaPnimiyos is Yirah Shamayim, Yirah Shamayim is the gate, is the door, and Torah the outside door, and then all the way on the outside, Mavtechos HaChitzonios is the Yirah Shamayim is on the outside. Then the gate is in the middle. The middle is, I'm getting all confused. The Torah, and then all the way on the inside is. Torah is on the inside. One more time.
No, there are two more types. We started with two more types of Yirah Shamayim.
Two types of Yirah Shamayim.
The first door is Yirah Shamayim. You get into the Chatzar, that's the Torah.
You get to Yirah Shamayim. So there are two types of Yirah Shamayim. The outer Yirah Shamayim and the inner Yirah Shamayim. The outer Yirah Shamayim is Yirah Sachet. Basic fear of sin, basic fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, punishment, just simple fear. You need that basic yira in order to succeed, to enter into the world of Torah. And then when you delve into the world of Torah, you come to an awe, an appreciation, a respect, as you said yesterday, a respect, an awe, what's called the Yiras HaRoimimus. So it's a three-step process, or a two-step process. You start with Yiras Achit, you then enter into the world of Torah, you learn Torah, and then when you have the Torah, then you come to a higher madrega of Yiras HaRoimimus. So these two Gemaras actually complement one another. Okay, good. One Gemara, it says that Yira is the inside, and the other Gemara says that Yira is the outside. So the way we reconcile these two is we've overlapped these two Gemaras. There's Yira on the outside, Yira on the inside, and Torah is in the middle. The basic Yira is Yira Sachet, which is a prerequisite to learn Torah. When you learn Torah, then you come to the higher madrig of Yira Saroimimus. Okay, so this is I once saw this pshat long time ago, this idea in a sefer in Agadita. So like a very hard to get sefer. And that's how he explains pshat in this Gemara. They have to be overlapped. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk B'choleis oyev oyev horeya ve'och litzara yivoleit. Mitzudas. There are many perushim for this pasuk. First, we'll see the mitzvah pasuk in Zayin Mechol Oyev Horeya. Horeya is a friend, lashon of a friend. Rots loyma avas horeim hi b'chol eis. So, according to the mitzvahs, we are describing as something. The pasuk is descriptive. We are explaining what the reality is. People who have friends, a true friend is there for you at all times, in the good times and in the bad times. Because you have nothing to do with this individual. He's not your relative. He's not your brother. You were not born. You don't have the same any obligation. So why then do you associate with him? You like him. He likes you. You like him. Well, you have a person that you are friendly with because you have your mutual interests and there's friendship. That friendship overflows into good times and bad times. However, a brother is a relative person, a relationship that you are forced into. When you're forced into, it's unfortunately not all the time do the brothers get along. They see things differently, so they're not always in the good times. They're not always. He goes on his vacation. He goes to Florida, and I go to Los Angeles.
Choose your friends,
not your relatives, exactly. But Rachmana Litzlan, if there are as a tsara, there are hard times, I need money, I need someone to help me, I need someone to comfort me, I need someone to get me out of a difficult situation, then the relatives have no choice but to come out of the woodworks and to come to your assistance.
Blood is thicker than water.
Blood is thicker than water. At all times, b'choles, and they make a book, all of the popular expressions per pasuk. B'choles oyev horeya. At all times, you shall love friends. Ahavas horeim hi b'choles. The love of friendship is at all times. B'choles bein b'tiyom toiv bein be'es sara. At good times and bad times. Aval but. Ahavas ha'ach, the love of a brother, ain't it to me that's not constant. It's not constant. Kol kach, so much. V'rak b'bayat tzara al ochev, if rachmon el son of tzara comes to one person's brother, oz yoshev l'ishtadl bo, then he attempts to come close to him. Ki atzmai u'besor, because a brother is your bone and flesh. V'yim kein harehu ki ilu ha'ach, no'elad, it's as if a brother was only born, l'to eles, v'tzarah. No, that's the bit. No, little Ellis means for a purpose. The son for a tzara. Now he's not for the good times. The brother is not necessarily there during good times because good times is
he only comes for help.
Only comes to help in bad times. Exactly. Okay, this is the parish of the mitzudas. Before we go further, let me just tell you what it is. A very beautiful idea about Yehuda. Yehuda had a friend. Re'eyu ish ho'adu lami. Chiram, Chirah Hoadu Lami. That was his friend. He went and he raised his flock with him. Why was he called? Well, it's very rare in the Torah to find an individual who's called a friend.
Somebody could share all your secrets.
Oh, so what secrets? No, what? Not secrets. Not secrets. Your sins. More than just secrets. It's one thing to share secrets. It's not a big deal to share a secret. Rav Hutna said, your sins. No, personal matters is not a big deal. You share personal things with a lot of people. Rav Hutna said, the chilek between a secret and a non-secret is something that's not a secret you announce publicly. Get it from the pulpit, from the shul, on both sides, we want to wish a mazel tov to so-and-so, he had a grandson, he had a boy, he had a girl, he got engaged, so-and-so. A secret is, you go from person to person, I want to tell you, I want you to be the first to know. I want to tell you something that I'm having, this is going to happen. You just tell you tell one person at a time. A secret is public knowledge. It's just the way you tell it to people is one person at a time instead of tell it to them publicly. Okay, but what is a friend? A friend is someone who you can admit your sins. Do you know what I did? I stole money. Do you know what I did? I was nichshol in this avera. Yehuda told Yishua Dulami, I was nichshol with a zona. Wow. That's a pretty big secret to confess to. Who are you going to go around and telling that the Yehuda, you know, Yehuda was the child of Yaakov Avinu, the most respected person in Klal Yisrael. Good morning. He's willing to go and tell someone that he was nichshol with a zona? On the Prosh Asterachim, half-level fella. To that, you need a real friend.
and all of them will not spread it around.
That's exactly why he's a friend. That's what a real friend is. A real friend only has keeps your secret. It's an amazing idea, amazing insight. It's an incredible chiddush. That's the only one of the only place in the Torah, if not the only place, where the Torah tells us about a friend. That Yehuda had a friend. Where do you find the Torah friends? And the only thing we know about Yishua Dulami was Yehuda sent him, he gave him the money and said, go to the Zona and retrieve my staff, my signet ring, and my, what was the third thing? My garment. The three things. Psilecha. The mata, the chosam, and the psil. So these three, this is what these, so he...
The
psil?
I think
His garment. What? His royal garb. Yehuda was the melech. His royal garb and his signet ring and his staff. So you're able to give.
It could be the string that they wrap the
ear. Okay, whatever it is. But this is a true friend. Okay, so this is the parish of the mitzvahs. Rashi has a very different parish. Rashi learns it's giving you. It's not descriptive. The pasuk is not telling you what. The pasuk is giving you instructions. You person should always seek friends. Wherever you go, every time you come to go to a meeting, go to a shiur, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to make friends. Now, there are certain shiur. I know. Go to certain events. I really don't enjoy all that much. I'm not telling you where this is. The shiurim. I go because it's social interaction. I have some friends there. Chaverim. I see them once in a while. It's a social event for me. So I go, yeah, so this happens to be a shir, or even go to a shul. Many people, they go to shuls. They don't dislike the rabbi, but they're not, you know, not from the biggest chassidim of this type of rabbi. It's a social event, right? Most things that we do in life are social events. So here the pasuk is giving you instruction according to Rashi. Take advantage of an opportunity. If you're going to somewhere in that location, make for yourself new friends. You never know when you'll need them. That's what Rashi says. B'choleis oyev horeya le'olam have oyev reim liknois oyhavim. You shall love friends in order to acquire. Pasuk is instructive, not like the mitzvahs that is descriptive. It's a very important point. Every time you learn pasuk in Mishnah, pasuk in Nach, the first question you have to ask is this descriptive or instructive? Here is a clear machlokes between Sudos and Rashi. And then Rashi goes on to say, what's the advantage? We're not comparing a friend versus a brother. The ach letzara yivoleit. Because this friend, not dealing with a new category, not dealing with blood, this friend that you acquire as acquaintance may one day become your brother. What does it mean, your brother? He'll come to your rescue. You'll need him. V'ach letzara yivoleid le'es hatzara yivoleid l'cho horeya. This newly acquired friend will now, it'll be as if he was born, as if he came into existence, ke'ach, like a brother to you, la'azor l'cho, to help you, u'lehishtateith b'tzaraschah, and to participate in your tzara. Chatzi tzaras rabim, chatzi nechama. If someone emphasizes with you, so this is an important insight. Okay, this is Rashi's interpretation. Now, yeah.
Friend, which means so when a Sarasa Dibra says or Sachmoy, whatever,
Kol Asher L'Reyecha,
Eishes
Reyecha.
So Mamasha means literally somebody you become very close to, or just your neighbor.
It depends on the context. I don't know. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. Maybe the word. I don't know. I guess I am part of the Torah. You can interpret it many different ways.
We say chaverim kol Yisrael.
Chaverim kol Yisrael. It means another person. On a very simple level, it means your next door neighbor. It just means your neighbor, l'reyecha, your acquaintance, your next door neighbor. Here it has a much deeper meaning. It means someone that you're very close with. The pashtus there in that sense there is just means another Jew. L'reyecha means another Jew that you never saw before. He lives across the street. He has a beautiful house, a beautiful car. The Torah says, le'sachmot, send a sign, don't be jealous. Doesn't necessarily mean only someone that you buddy with, your best friends. Right, dear, in that context, kamocha, it depends on the context. Every word, it has multiple meanings, often, more often than not, it depends on the context. That is the way it's meant to be interpreted. Okay, let's...
Even the person of spiritual greatness.
Yeah, I can't be jealous of.
He has
also has an obligation.
He is told Leisachmoy. It's not just giving Leisachmoy to the Pasha de Amcha that want to lust or want to steal or want to kidnap. It's given to the biggest Gedalim. They have the same.
The greater you are, the greater the son of your son you have.
You have everything. You can't say, I'm so great I don't have to worry about it.
Oh.
You have to keep your eyes open, and if you see someone, like the Baal Shem Tov used to say, if you see someone else stealing, the ability to see that Aver takes
means
that
you and Nechshol Aver.
Why would you think otherwise?
No.
Why would I think the greatest Gedalim is not responsible for this Loisah sales?
Mm-hmm. No, but because people assume that, you know.
No, you don't assume nothing. Okay, let's go further. Okay, now here's some of the case. So we already started two mahalachim so far. Now we come to the Gemara. The Gemara always likes to have more interpretations. Okay, so first let's start with the Medrash. This Medrash is perfect for this week's parsha. Parsha Shemos is we are introduced for the first time to Yisro. Yisro. Until I prepared this podcast, I saw this Medrash. I thought, you know, Yisro's a nice guy, but nice. He was just, you know, your average person. He was a great person, obviously. But I mean, as far as his relationship to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Did he have him in prison for an extended period of time? And
Moshe was in prison
with Yisro.
Okay, yeah, there are a lot of Midrashim. Okay, there are a lot of Midrashim. What did he kept Moshe locked up? Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Yes, the average person. Moshe Rabbeinu is a fugitive. Okay, let's look. The average person. Moshe Rabbeinu is on the run. Paro wants to kill. Moshe is a marked man. Ben Bechai, he's a marked man. He's a fugitive. Yeah, there are many Midrashim. But let's just read the Psukim on Derech Pshat. Pasha Pshat. Moshe Rabbeinu arrives the home by the well, and he goes and they're abusing Yisro's daughters, and Moshe Rabbeinu gets up and he fights on their behalf, and he gives water to their animals, and they go home and they say, well, Yisro says, why are you home so early today? There was a Mitzri, there was a fugitive. His name was Moshe. He's on the run. He's a marked man. He happened to be in town and he helped us out. So Yisro says, no, it's a shidduch crisis. It's the best we can do. Tell him to come here and I'll offer him a deal. I'll give him a good deal. He'll work for me. He'll work for me and he'll marry you, Yitzipar. And Yitzipar, you had these dreams of marrying a Lakewood younger man in Koilel. Listen, you gotta face reality. You gotta work with what you got. You gotta work. It's right, I got seven daughters. Listen, you just got to take him. He's a fugitive. A fugitive. So Yisro says, Moshe, Moshe, I'll do you a tova here. I'll make a deal with you. You can marry my daughter, so on and so forth. It doesn't seem. The truth is, if you'd say, who's doing? Moshe's doing the tova. Moshe wants to marry Yisro's daughter. Ah, so who's doing the tova? Moshe's doing the tova to Yisro. Maybe you can argue. The Medrash here says shocking things. It's shocking. It says that the one who did the tova, he was Yisro. Yisro was from the greatest machnes oirach there ever was. Yisro, by taking in this Moshe Rabbeinu, this fugitive, taking him into his house, at kidei kach, willing to give Moshe, what do you need? You need some food. He has some food. You need something to drink. You need parnasa. You need a shidduch. You know what? You can marry my daughter. And even though you're a fugitive, you're a marked man, I want to help you. I want to be a machnes oirach. That's an incredible thing. It's a whole new way of looking at Yisro. How do we know that the Torah looks at Yisro in the most positive way possible? Because in reward for this mitzvah of Hachnosa Sarchin, the Torah said the mitzvah was never taken away from Yisro. What do we mean? Fast forward 1,000 years later, Sisra. When Sisra, the general of Yavin Melech Canaan, whatever it was, and he was running away. Who was the one that took in the enemy into her house in order to bring Kshon to Klal Yisrael? Yoel. Who is Yoel? Eishes Chever HaKeni. Who is the Keni? The descendants of Yisrael. Yisrael, you took in Moshe Rabbeinu into your house in order to be native to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Klal Yisrael. Person who is a member of Klal Yisrael, I'm going to pay you back that your great-great-great-granddaughter will take in the arch-enemy of Klal Yisrael into her house in order to be native Klal Yisrael by killing him, by taking him in order to destroy him, to bring a salvation for Klal Yisrael. I'll read you the words of the Medrash. Mi hoya oyev hareya. What? This is in Shemos Rabbah. Okay, Shemos Rabbah. Perek Dalet. Maybe it's this week's parasha. And it's also in the Tanchuma in Shemos Tezayin. So the Medrash there ties in this pasuk. It says in the pasuk, Ohev Horea. Who is the one who loves friends? Yisrael. Who is the friend? Moshe is the friend. Mi hoya oyev horeya ze Yisrael. Shekibel le Moshe. He was makabel Moshe as his friend. The ace shahoya bayreach mipnei Paro when he ran away from Paro. And in reward for this, with zechuz ze zocha sheyehe zaru oisakein li Yisrael tamid, that his descendants would also take in people into their home for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Mikanat alamo made mi shekibel alatz melasas mitzvah. He would. A very powerful yisoid for life, that if a person is makabel upon himself to a mitzvah, you makabel, then you know what, I'll take care of it, I accept upon myself the financial obligation to do this mitzvah, I have makabel myself to do something every week, every day, to do a certain thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring about this siba that your descendants and you yourself will always have that opportunity to do the mitzvah as well. If you don't appreciate that, to do a mitzvah you need very great siyata d'shmaya. You know, there are maybe hundreds if not thousands of people who are chalashing to give a daf yomi shir. I know, I hear this all the time. They want to give a daf yomi shir. There are just no opportunities. There are people who are chalashing to be rebbeim and yeshiva. To be Milan, the Mechanchen. The people who are chalashing to be askonim, to do things. People are there, they want to have opportunities. They have the time, they have the money, they just don't have the opportunity. They don't have the opportunity to do things that they really want to do. And to have the opportunities is a very great siyata d'shmaya. It's a gift. It's a gift of Kadosh Baruch Hu. There are people that have the opportunity and they don't want to do it. They don't want to just let it go by. They don't want to do it. But to have the opportunity to do a mitzvah is an incredible bracha, an incredible gift min hashamayim. You need zuchusim to have opportunities. And here this chazal says that a person who exerts himself takes advantage of an opportunity, doesn't let it go by, in reward for that effort, Hashem will always grant him and his children and his grandchildren forever and ever opportunities to do what they would like to do. That's what it says. And you learn that from Yisro. Yisro had an opportunity to take in Moshe Rabbeinu. He could have easily said, I don't need Mali Litzara Hazos. When Paro finds out I'm harboring terrorists, they'll say, you're either with us or you're against us. Those are the famous words of Bush. Anyone that's harboring terrorists, we're their enemy. That came back to haunt them because he did nothing about it. You're either with us or you're against us. He was harboring a terrorist, Moshe Rabbeinu. And he took advantage of the situation. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to take him in. I know what's right. I mean, he's not a terrorist. He's a good person. I'm going to take him in. And in reward for that, all of his descendants, of Yisrael's descendants, had the opportunities to take people into their home for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. And it's a very powerful Musar Haskell for us. What we do, we have no idea of the ramifications of what could happen in all future generations. Let me finish these words. Mikan atolomet. From here you learn. This is Mamish. This week's parsha. A good var for this week's parsha. Kibul alatzma lasos mitzvah, ein oisa mitzvah poisekes mi beso umi mishpachto le oilam forever. Shekeva shekein mitzvasa shal Yisro shekibul besoch beso goel shaborach mimei asayne. Yisro was makabel upon himself the mitzvah to save the goel, the redeemer, who ran away from the enemy. Amdulloy has zuchus, that zuchus served for him, sheshuv omar nibeso, they would one day rise from his own home, me, a person, Yoel, shekibel lasayne, an enemy, shebarach mibnei ha-goyel, that was running away from the goyel, but it was reversed. The harogoy eze hasone, sisra, the Sisra Nos Beraglov El Ohel Yoel Eishes Chayver Hakeni Uvnei Hakeni Chaysein Moshe. And who did he save? He saved Klal Yisrael from their tzara. Okay, so this is a very beautiful, beautiful, beautiful medrash. V'ochlet tzara yivoleit. Och means a brother. Brother meaning that Yoel became a brother. It means here figuratively that she came to the aid. She came to the rescue Litzara for the Tsar sister Yevol that was born to the descendants of Yisra. Okay, so that's third Chazal. So we have Mitzudos, descriptive, we have Rashi, instructive, and we have this beautiful Medrash of a Musar Haskel Mikana Talamate for all future generations. Then we have a very fascinating Gemara that talks about Achav. Achav was one of the worst kings in Klal Yisrael. He was the seventh king. He's the one that really started. You can argue who's worse, Menashe or Achav. Menashe practically was worse. Menashe did, the abominations of Menashe were a billion times worse than Achav. But Achav was the one that started it all. He's the one that really gets the credit, who introduced Avodah Zarah into Klal Yisrael to a degree in Zerum ben Nevot. Okay, the Zerum ben Nevot, he's also the one that broke away. But Achav is the one that really took it to a whole new league, a whole new dimension, level.
Was he the first guy who married a shiksa?
Achav could be, I don't know.
Was his wife Zevel?
Yes, Achav's wife was Zevel.
Well, was his wife worse than him?
Yeah. They were both.
I mean, she gets
Sadiq. You know. What? Okay, let me read it. I don't know. I don't know.
Elio more than he did.
Let's see. Let me read that. But Achav. Now, here's the problem. Achav was a very complicated person. You talk about schizophrenia. Okay, he was extremely complicated person in ways that we have no understanding. And Chazal emphasized this point. Let me read you conflicting memory Chazal. On the one hand, the pasuk says about Achav. It's a pasuk. Let me read what it says. Ra'kein melachem aleph perik chafei and the melachem aleph perik chafei pasuk aleph. Ra'k lohaya ke Achav asher hismaker laso sarah b'nei Hashem. There was no one like him. For to say in the Sefer Melachim such a nusach, it means you're really in a lot of trouble. There was no one like Achav. Lohoyak Achav Asher Hismaker. Hismaker means he sold himself. He sold himself off. He just gave himself over. Lasos hora, to do evil in the eyes of Hashem. But on the other hand, the Nevi'im say the most beautiful things about Achav. They say about him that when Hadad, Melech Aram, okay, Ben Hadad, Melech Aram, he came and he attacked, he laid siege to the whole Aseres HaShvatim. Achav was the king of the Aseres HaShvatim, and he basically obliterated them, and he put on them a lot of pressure. He demanded, Achav had to pay him off. And he wanted they should give over the Machmari Necha, the Sefer Torah. Ben Hadad, I want you to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and take out of the Aron the Sefer Torah in the Aron HaKodesh. And Achav refused to do so. The Pasuk says, V'hadover hazeh V'chasher ben, I'll read you the parish where it says here, V'chasher ben Hadad, Melech Aram, Dorash mimenu al yidei shluchim es kasbei uzuchavoy. He wanted his money, his gold, the silver, Noshav, his wives, Ubonav, and his children, V'chol machmar enof. He wanted the Sefer Torah also. This is what Ben Hadad demanded in order not to destroy Klal Yisrael. So he said, okay, you could have it. You could have my wives, you could have my children, you could have all my money. But I'm not giving you my Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah you're not going to get, even if it will cost me my life. That was an incredible Kiddush Hashem. Such a Kiddush Hashem, the whole world was watching. And he's saying, you can have everything, but I'm going to die al Kiddush Hashem not to give away the Torah? What more do you want from a person? What greater than Olam Haba can there be for a person than doing that? So Manav Shach, is he a good guy or is he a bad guy? What's going on with Achav? How do we make sense of this?
But isn't there a thing in Maishas about Tanayim where the Romans allowed him to go in once?
That's not Acha. That's a different person. That was a citizen. That was Harmel Korban.
I know, but I'm saying
that the Pintali Yid, it awakened. That's a different story. I have to look at every story differently. But here we have a person that's very complex. And Chazal took note of the major contradictions in Achav in Nevi'im, and they wrote the following in what that with this Gemara. The Gemara is where is this Gemara? I can't find it here. Okay, I'm not sure where the Gemara is. Achav Sham. Where is Sham? Sham. I can't find it. I know, I'm looking back all the Gemaras before. I'm looking back all the Shams. I can't figure out which Sham it is. You can go back 20 Shams. What? Ibid. Okay, wherever that Sham is, Rav Nachman, the Gemara says, Achav Shokul Hoya was 50-50. Dezen Shalman, and they couldn't figure out what to do with this guy. Shokul Hoya. Mechza Avoinois, Umechza Zechuyos. 50-50. Schizophrenia. Back to Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Couldn't figure out what to do with this guy. But to an extreme. He was mechza to an extreme. And the Gemara says, where do we find the root? Where Shlomo HaMelech? It was way before Achav, obviously. Shlomo HaMelech. Achav was the seventh king of the Malchi Yisrael. Achav ben Imri. He was the seventh king, and Shlomo HaMelech already predicted that there's going to be such a person that's going to exist in Klal Yisrael. And with this pasuk, the pasuk here that we read is B'choleis Oyev Horeya V'Och Letzara. Who is the Oyev Loreya? Achav Ach LaShemayim and Av LaOyvdei Kaychavim. Ach LaShemayim D'Chsev V'Ach Letzara. Yivoleit. He was called an Ach Letzara. Here is the source. Though it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Here it is, Sanhedrin. Tafkuf Beis. He is a brother to heaven. Achav has two. What's Achav? Ach of. His name is a contraction of two words. Ach is a brother, and he's an Av. When it says Av, Av reflects that he was a father to those who worshipped idols. The half of his personality that was evil. But the beginning of his personality, Ach, is a good expression. It means he was a brother to heaven. He was a brother to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here the Gemara quote.
He was good until he became an Av. When he married
Izebel, his wife turned him.
Jezebel.
When you marry garbage, you become garbage.
Okay, so how do we...
Izebel, no?
Izebel. The Ach perishes Vai Sarah. Okay, what it means over here is Ach Letzara. Now here's the Gemara. The Gemara gives a new interpretation of this pasuk. What does Ach mean? Ach means brother. Ach also means woe. It means it's an expression that comes out of your body, out of your throat. Oi, oi, he'och means an expression. Letzara means when there was a tzara in Klal Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael was faced with a tzara, Achav was the one who led Klal Yisrael with he'och. With an expression of oi. And when he went oi, the hearts of Klal Yisrael melted, and they also went oi. And Hashem listened to their tefillos, and Hashem annulled the gzeira. Wow, he was mamish to Gadol Hadar. What more can you want from a person? When Ben Hadad came to Katak Klal Yisrael, he led Klal Yisrael in tefillah. I'm not giving you the machmar einecha. This made headlines. Everyone did tshuva. It saved them from the tzara. So the Gemara says that's what it means here in Mishlei when it says ach. Letzara yivoleid. The day will come when it will be born into Klal Yisrael a person that will be he'och. He will lead the Jewish people in doing tshuva. Letzara when there is a tzara. And who was this fulfilled? This was fulfilled in Achav, who was an ach. He was the ach, and he was also. But on the other hand, Chazal say, on the other hand, I think he's one of the kings. There's no chelik elam habar, right? That's what the Gemara says.
Perfect.
It's
there. B'chol eis. Yeah. Drop the a. The hey. The sound is av. Hora
the ach. Becholes oyev, love.
He says,
Hora the ach. Cross out the hey, you got
love evil. So he's both. So this person was an evil person. He doesn't want to say in the beginning of the pasuk means he always loved rishis, but at the same time he was from the biggest tzaddikim that he led Klal Yisrael in tefillah in Ach. A very nechnami. Harei has the word l'ud of ra. But the medrash doesn't say this, but you're saying a divrei of meir. Mokam inichu avoysav. Mokam inichu avoysav. Lizgader boy. This is
Russia.
Ach means woe to Klal Yisrael. Ach means ahoy. When he took a role of leadership, Klal Yisrael said, "Oy vey."
When he said Ach, and the Jews said Ach, it was a big headache. That's when it was really big.
Really big. When he also hit. Okay, this is interpretation. Okay, just one thing that I find to be very interesting is the order. The other person he was called Ach of. The Ach, according to the Gemara, is the positive, and the Av is the negative. Av la'avodas chachavim. That itself is a maila, because if it would have been Avach, then the wishes comes first, and the good comes second. There are many different examples. We're very marked on order. Yerushalayim. Many of the commentators asked a very simple question. Yerushalayim, we all know, is a contraction. Irsha chubu lo yochat. It's a contraction of two different names. Avraham called the Mokom Yira, Hashem Yira, and it was originally called the Sholem, Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. So Yerushalayim is a contraction of Yira and Sholem, which comes together as Yerushalayim, to represent that it was the city of Shem, and it was the city of Avraham. The question is, shouldn't it be Sholem Yeru?
Right.
Why is it called Yerushalayim? Who came first? Sholem came first. So it doesn't sound good. Okay, so when L'chor Rishos HaChazam, they emphasize because...
What
it's all matter what he used to. What does Avraham represent? I'll call the place Yira, because that was the time when the Malach said, "Ato yadati ki yirei elokim ata." Avraham called the Yira al shem Yira Shemayim. Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem represents the Shleimus of Torah. He was a Sholem. He was Levi Nechon Shparuch Hu. Call me Sheyir Osoy. Kaidemes lichachmoso chachmoso miskayem. So call me Sheein Yir Osoy kaidemes ein chachmoso. So therefore, it's essential that the Yira comes before the Chachma, even though chronologically the Chachma in this case would have come before the Yira. Order makes a very big difference. Order is significant.
We have to worry about which era is like we.
So the Yira Sachib, any year is good. The Halavai, there should be Yira. Halavai, there should be Yira. That's L'chor, what they said. The Talmidim said to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, give us a bracha. What did he say? He said to them, I'm giving you a bracha that you should be Yira, and you should fear me like you fear. That's it? No, what do they want for? We want Yira Saroimimus. So he said, you want Yira Saroimimus? Halavai, you should have Yira Sachait. Yira Sachait of man. Halavai, you should have that degree. Don't have such big hasakas. Like I heard of Simcha Saladechik. He said to me, he was talking to a bach under Bar Mitzvah about Chanukah. So he asked him a question. So the bach said to him, it's the Or HaGonus. So he told me, he started laughing. He put his hand on his shoulder and says, you have time yet. You have time. What, you have any Hasaga, the Or HaGonus? What are you saying? What are they teaching in Yeshiva about the Or HaGonus? It's the first Rashi. But this is not the way a little boy should answer a question. Not up to such big, lofty Hasagas. Okay, but in any event, it is Haloi Davar. A'achov, ach. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Av to Avodah Zarah, but the order is Ach, the good came before the bad. That is some redeeming quality to Achav. So Sach HaKol we have here, what do we have? We told of four different Mahalchim in this Pasuk, the Mitzudos, descriptive, Rashi, instructive, the Medrash of Yisro, beautiful Medrash, and this Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin connecting this Pasuk to Achav, which indirectly tells us Ach Litzar Yivoleid, that when there is a Tzar, a person should express his pain with Heoch, and that will bring about a salvation. Okay, let's go to the next Pasuk, quick one more Pasuk, Odom Chasar Leiv, a person who is lacking intelligence is always quick to extend his hand to guarantee a loan. This is why the economy went into a recession. Tanya went into recession. How many years ago? It's like perpetually the recession. 8 years ago, because the banks were too quick to give mortgages, to lend people money when they knew very clearly there's no way in the world they can pay back. So this is an act of foolishness. You don't lend money. You don't guarantee yourself in any way unless you are certain the person has the ability to pay back. Adam chasar lev, a foolish person, tokeakov, extends their hand, gives away money, or extends their hand as saying, I'll take care of it, I will be your guarantor. Oirev arubo lefnei re'ehu. Now the simple translation is not the way that it's saying in the Mesilas Rashi, but the simple translation is to play on the words. He's willing to become a co-signer. Oirev arubo, two words which mean the same thing, it's a play on the word. You are willing to extend your hand and serve as a co-signer lefnei re'ehu, before your friend, when you really have not seen his ability to pay back, his financial, what are the expression? He has not
seen Dun & Bradstreet.
It's credit rating, whatever. He have not seen his financial status, if he's able to pay back money. It's a foolish thing. And the truth is, we had this pasuk way back in the beginning of Sefer Mishlei. One of the problems began with this concept of being foolish to extend, to become a co-signer. And there we learned in the Mepharshim that there are two types of co-signers. There's a co-signer that you only come to after the lender has defaulted. The borrower has defaulted on the loan. And then there's something called an orif kablon, which means that you allow the lender to come to you first. So Mepharshim pointed out that there's a repetition here in Sefer Mishlei, in the beginning of the Sefer, and in this pasuk, where it says a foolish person who lends is a guarantor, and it says that this pasuk here in Perek Yud Zayin is referring to an Arif Kablan. It's the worst type of cosigner, where you are willing to accept upon yourself to pay even before the lender can come to you first, even before he goes to the borrower, and then you will have the headache of going collecting it from the borrower. It's a foolish thing if you don't know exactly what you're getting yourself into. That is a very similar way of translating the pasuk, but the Mitzvahs and Rashi say a little bit different. Let's see pasuk Yitchaz, Tokeyakov, Derech Hasar Leif. It is a way of a foolish person, Lotkoyakov, Ba'arvus, Mamluf Nerehu, Ratzolaymar, Beshvil Reke. That's so far what we said, it's really what we said. That's how we translate Beshvil on behalf of your friend. Rashi is different. Adam Hasar Leif, Tokeyakov, he extends his hand, Arvus Mamluf, he serves the co-signer. Okay, that's also what we said so far. Dovar Acher, another pair. It's more midrashic that a person is willing to extend his hand to a rasha. I'm willing to pull out to extend my. I'll be your partner. I'll hold hands with you and do the same averos that you do. And the person is a sinner because he already has obligated himself to his friend. Who is his friend? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called our best friend. We are already oirev aruba lifnei. We have already obligated ourselves, indebted ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to follow his mitzvos. So how dear do you go and extend your hand to do the opposite of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? It must be because you're a foolish person. Yes?
In extreme mashal, I hope it's not true, but you come to shul, Shabbos, you put on your gartel, and then you see a guy who just ripped off either a company, he did some big fraud, and you go over to him and say, oh, wow, you did such a great job. How did you do it? So you have a ravis and to a Kaddish Baruch Hu that you already gave, and here you're coming in and you're saying,
okay, fine.
You're becoming a...
Exactly, fine. So let's say one more time these words. The Rashi, the Varacher, Tekeakaf, Lurashoyim, the Leches Bedarchayim. But the Pasuk includes very Kavar. You can't do that, right? Kavar, Aruva, Lefekh, Reu, Kavar, Arava, Lekash Baruch Hu, Lushman, you already guarantee yourself to go towards a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Okay, so, okay, this is anything I wanted to say over here. Let me just check over. I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. Okay, so we'll stop over here. Pick up tomorrow, Pasuk Yitzchaz.